I've been preaching off and on a series of sermons that I've been developing on, I'm just calling it how to. There's some things you need to know how to do from the Word of God. And several weeks ago I preached on how to know God's ways. And then I preached one message as well on how to experience the presence of God. The last sermon that I preached to you was on how to know a wolf, which dealt with false prophets, because in the end time there'll be an increase of false prophets and false teachers, and how to know that. And tonight I'm dealing with the subject on how to intercede or how to pray for others. And we've heard two great testimonies here of people that prayed. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's very easy to know how to pray for others. For example, if somebody's lost, you know exactly what to pray for. You know what God's will is. It's the will of the Father that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But then there's other times when you're dealing with people that maybe are even Christians, and they're going to come to you and they're going to say something like this: I'm facing a situation. And they'll describe what's going on in their life. And then they'll ask you that question: will you pray for me? Well, that seems simple sometimes. But perhaps that question is, I've got three opportunities for a job. Will you pray for me? When they ask that question, that's when the problem comes about. The problem is this: when you pray, how do you know God's will? Our teacher did a great job teaching on prayer this morning in our Sunday school class. One of the questions was asked was, during that time, how do you know what's God's will to pray? See, if they're a Christian and there's three job opportunities before them, one is right and two is wrong. So how do you know how to pray? How do you know what God's will is when you pray? Well, the easiest way to know God's will, we can always be certain that we're praying for God's will in someone's life or in our life if we are praying from God's Word. God's Word will never go contrary to God's will. What God wills, His Word will support. And in Ephesians 3, we have to have a text to preach from. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say every preacher needs a text to preach from, and usually the longer they preach, the farther from it they get. But I hope that's not the case tonight. But this deals with prayer. Paul is in a prison, and he's confined to this prison. He cannot preach. He cannot teach. There's no church for him to meet with. There's no church for him to go to because he's bound in prison. But there are some things that even though we may be confined to a space, that God says no matter where we're at, it doesn't matter if we're on a hospital bed, if we're shut in, it doesn't matter where we're at, there's something that we can always do, and that is intercede. And notice how he starts out in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he's in prison, his spirit soars from that prison and he starts praying for the people of God. And in this discourse, he tells us from God's Word how that we're to intercede for others. And boy, if we ever need intercessors, we need them now. We need people that'll stand up and stand in the gap for needs of others as never before. You have no idea, and I have no idea, the vast needs of people right here in this sanctuary today. But yet we know that we can intercede for those people, pray for those people, and God says there is a specific way. If we pray, we'll always know we're praying according to God's will, because this is what His Word teaches us. He said in verse 16, this is what He's praying: that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened. Underline the word strengthened, or write the word strengthened down. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted, underline the word rooted, or write down the word rooted, ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, underline the word comprehend, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. Height of what? His love. From the previous verse. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled, underline the word filled, or write the word filled down, filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh into us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I called your attention to four things that we should always pray for when someone asks us to intercede on their behalf. Or we look and we see a need and the Spirit of God touches our heart and says, pray for that individual. Four things that we need to know about. What do we pray? First of all, we pray for spiritual strength for weakness. Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He's saying, if there's weakness that's there, something that could create a weakness, we need to pray that God will give them spiritual strength over that weakness. Two things. There's an inner man and an outer man. A spiritual person and the natural person. The flesh and the spirit. What he's saying is, pray that the Spirit of God has touched the spirit of the person, that they will have strength in the time of weakness. Now, how do you pray that way? Well, it's all the way we focus when we pray. First of all, do not focus on human resources, but focus on heaven's riches. That's what he says, according to the riches of his glory. Do you know God's books always balance? Now, our problem is when we take something out, if we don't put something back, then we have less than what we had when we gave it. But it doesn't say out of his riches. Read it. Look at it. It says according to his riches. See, it doesn't matter how much God gives, he still has just as much after he gives it as before we ever ask and before we ever receive it. He doesn't run short. It never comes short of anything. It's somewhat like the king that had a valuable gift one day. And he turns to a servant and gives his servant this valuable gift. And the servant looks at him and says, it's too valuable for me to receive. It's too much for me to receive. And the king responds and says, yes, but it's not too much for me to give. See, when we stop to think about what God has, when God does something and he promises something in his word, he already has it before he ever promises it. And when he gives it to us, he's no less God than he was before we ever asked for it. He never runs short. He never runs out. The level's always the same. It doesn't matter how much God gives to us. He has just as much after he gives us his grace and his glory and his power. There's just as much left after he gives it as he had before. Do not focus on human resources, but focus on heaven's riches. And then do not focus on physical strength of the outer man, but focus on spiritual, supernatural strength of the inner man. The inner man has power that the outer man doesn't have. For example, how many of you, before you were saved, there were things in your life you didn't like and you prayed about and you prayed about and you wanted to quit it and you wanted to quit it and you could not quit it. You couldn't get rid of it. A habit you wanted to get rid of, something you wanted to do away with. But then once you got saved and the Lord was in you, there was a power from the inner person that the outer person never had. I hear it constantly. Oh, preacher, I want to serve God. I want to do what's right. I try and I try and I try, and I just can't live it. You've got it right. You can't live it. None of us can live it. We can't live it of our own might and of our own power. That's why we have to have Christ in us, and we're strengthened through Christ in us. And what we cannot do, and the things we're not able to do, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And it's through Christ that we gain strength to do all things. Do not focus when you pray on changing others. Focus on God changing us. God gave me a little statement the other day. I jotted it down. When life comes against us hard, sometimes life can be hard. What life does to us depends on what life finds in us. See, if life comes to us and the devil takes the everyday occurrences of life and brings it against us, and the inner man is not strengthened, then the devil will use that as a tool to eat us alive. Let me explain it this way. It's like the little fella that was a weakling, and he's sitting there and he's got this tablet out and he's writing names down, writing names down, writing names down. This bodybuilder comes by, a friend of his. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making a list of everybody I'm going to whip." The guy looked at it and said, "Hey, wait a minute. My name's at the top of that list." The little fella looks at him, looks at his muscles. He said, "No problem. We'll just scratch your name off the list." Life comes seeing what we've got on the inside. And if we've got the right stuff on the inside, then it doesn't matter when we're faced with things. There is power in us that you can't see on the outside, but it's in us. And that's why we pray, "Lord, let the spiritual person shine through," because there's power in us that is greater than the power we possess by ourselves. The prodigal son. The worst prayer he ever prayed was when he was at the best place in his life. Father's house. You know what he prayed in Father's house? "Give me." The best prayer he ever prayed was when he was at the worst place in his life, in a hog pen. "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." Do you get the picture? It's what life brings us to say, "Yes, I may be in the pig pen now, but God's not finished with me yet. One day I'm getting out of this pig pen and I'm going to a better place. And you see me now in this world, but this world will not be my home forever. I've got strength from the inside that says, keep going, keep pressing on. Heaven is at the end of all of it, and heaven is worth it all." So he says, first of all, pray for spiritual strength. Not only does he say pray for spiritual strength for our weakness, but he says pray for spiritual depth for our shallowness. Verse 17, three words describing to us how we make it. He says, first, dwell, that Christ may dwell in you. Second, he says, be rooted. And third, he says, be grounded. What's the importance of those three things? Well, dwelling is a family term. That's home. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Don't shout out the answer. Answer it in your mind, answer it in your heart. Does Jesus feel at home in your heart? Does He feel at home in your life? In our everyday life, are we a place for Christ to dwell in us? We have a family relationship with Christ. Does He feel at home with us? You know why a lot of professing Christians don't come to church? They don't feel at home. I hear people say all the time, "Well, I've looked and looked and looked and I can't find anywhere that I feel at home." The problem's not with the church, the problem's with you. That's the problem. Because I don't care where I go. We just made a trip. And you know what? I found out the Lord was with us everywhere we went on that trip. I can walk into a church. I don't care how formal they are, how organized they are. I feel right at home. Because Christ dwells in me. So He says, first, we relate how deep we are by that family relationship with the Lord. And then he uses the word root, which deals with the tree. That's a farmer's term. The root is the part that only God can see. But the root is what keeps us from failing. How deep we are rooted will help us to carry on when the storms of life come against us. So he said we need to have roots that will hold up against the wind that blows against us. Then he uses the third word, and that word is grounded. The word grounded, that's a foundational term, an architectural term. You cannot go high if you do not go deep. If you try to build your Christian life on a shallow foundation, you're not going very high with God. But the deeper we go, the higher we go. The more that we get involved in Him, the more we realize how wonderful that He is. So He gives us spiritual depth for shallowness. Now hold on to your hat. When we pray for people, we not only pray that God will give them spiritual strength for weakness and spiritual depth for shallowness, but then in the next verse he talks about comprehend with all, able to comprehend with all saints. We pray for spiritual comprehension for shallowness and narrowness. Do you know, I don't know if I should say this or not. Do you think you can tolerate it tonight? If your view in life is narrow enough, you can almost prove anything. See, there's a lot of Christians that they'll find one thing in the Bible, and they know everything the Bible says about that one thing, but they forget there's a whole great big Bible out there. The Bible's more than one verse, and more than one subject, and more than one doctrine. Don't shout me down now. He says, some people get so narrow in their view. Do you know there's people that they will not associate or worship or fellowship with anybody? They can't even worship with people in their own denomination. Because they have brought it down so narrow. And they made it so narrow in their belief. Oh, they can prove it. They can take every unique verse there is in the Bible and they can quote those unique verses, hoping that will make you think that they're not narrow. But the truth of the matter is they're very narrow. But we're not talking about praying with narrowness. You know what I found out? He said that we pray this, comprehend it with all saints. He said this is something that encompasses a world outside of where we are. Broaden your horizons. There's other Christians in this world besides Christians in Rubyville Church. There's other people that's good to worship with beside the folks right here. I love this church. But if you think this church is the only one going to heaven, you're wrong. Narrowness. I see that with all saints. You know what I found out? God will bless people that I don't even agree with. He will. There's people out there, maybe they have a little different idea, a different take, a different spin, but you'll find out really it's not that different after all. What they do is they find buzzwords and they use those buzzwords and they'll say the same thing. They feel like if you use that word enough times, then you're part of that narrow clique. And if you don't use those words, you're not preaching in their church. I better move on. You ought to look at the cross. When we look at the cross, it encompasses everything he talks about here. When we look at his head, we begin to understand that that is the height of God's love. We look at the right hand and we see that's the breadth of God's love. His left hand, that's the length of God's love. His feet, that's the depth of God's love. You know what he's saying? Don't make God's love narrow to just our life. It encompasses more than that. He will go to the lowest of places to save the lost. And may I remind you, some of us weren't very likable before Jesus came into our life. We weren't always like this. There was a time when we were as low as we could get. But thank God somebody interceded for us and somebody touched heaven for us that we might be saved. And then finally he says, pray in verse 19 for spiritual fullness, for emptiness. You know what he's saying? Live by the overflow. Don't live by the undertow. Isn't it great to have services like this morning where there's an overflow? But now, if you think I'm just going to sit back and wait until that happens again, you're not living by the overflow, you're living by the undertow. Now, you're not going to like this either, but I've got to say it. The truth of the matter is, you can have service like that every time you come to church. Oh, well, some days I don't feel like that. Tell me where God says you have to feel a certain way to get blessed. If you've prayed and you see prayers, and sometimes I get blessed sitting on this platform because I know what people have asked me to pray for. And I know things they've shared in confidence. And I can't get up and tell you all of those things. But I watch how the Spirit of God moves on them. And I sit there and see how God is answering prayer in their life. And you know what it does? It blesses me because I'm living on the overflow. I see what God does for them. And it blesses me. Do you get blessed when others get blessed? Are you happy when others get blessed? Or do you have an attitude, I want you to do good, I just don't want you to do too good. I want you to be spiritual, I just don't want you to be more spiritual than me. I want you to be happy, I just don't want you to be happier than me. He's saying we ought to rejoice with one another. And by the way, if you're empty or near empty, you'll be the last to know. Everybody else will see it except you. But when you're full, people see that too. Whatever you're filled with is what will come out when you get shaken. If you are filled with God and the world shakes you and troubles shake you and problems come against you, whatever is in you will come out every time when you get shaken. That's why we ought to say, Lord, fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your glory. Fill us with your blessings. Fill us with praise. That's when we pray for others. We pray, Lord, let them run life on full. We want them to enjoy the fullness of the Lord, not to be empty, but spiritually filled vessels of honor that can spill out on others. But then he concludes it all with the last verse in this chapter. Unto him be glory. Now, you cannot go through life and say that prayer and praise are separated. He links praise to prayer. That means that if you don't praise God, you probably haven't been praying. And the more you pray, the more you'll praise God. Because the more you pray, the more you see God do things. Prayer is saying to God, please. Praise is saying, thank you. When you say please enough, sooner or later you've got to come back and say, thank you. Prayer is us going into God's presence to carry something out. If you're praying for a purpose. You're going into the presence of God to get something from God. Someone said you ought not always pray to get something. But when we pray, I'm talking about intercession. We are interceding to get help from God, direction from God, wisdom from God. Prayer takes us in the presence of God to get something. So we carry something out. Praise stays when we carry something out. Prayer remains after we get what we have prayed for. Praise is still there to say, Lord, on one occasion you did that. But I've never forgotten what you've done. And I'll never stop praising you for what you've done. Any time you ever ask God for something and God answers prayer in your life, or you intercede for somebody and God does something great for them, you have the right the rest of your life to praise God for what He's done. You have the right the rest of your life to say, Lord, it took you just a moment of time, but for the rest of my life and all eternity, I'm going to praise you, Lord, because you did for me what nobody else could do. You touched me, Lord, when nobody else else could touch me. You saved me, Lord, when nobody else could save me. You answered prayer and healed my body when nobody else could heal me. I'm telling you, we go in to get something, but when we get it, we can't stop praising Him the rest of our life. We say, unto Him is all glory and praise. Had it not been for God on our side, how could we have made it through all of it? Prayer says, Lord, please. But praise says, Lord, thank you. It's funny how we are. We're like kids at Christmas. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And when we get it, and they go back to school after Christmas break, the teacher says, what did you get for Christmas? Hey, I don't know how it is in your life, but I'm telling you firsthand, God's been good to me. And I want to tell you something else too. When you start praising God for His goodness, people won't like you. Anybody that has God's favor on their life and God's blessings on their life, now don't misunderstand. Others could have it, but they're not willing to intercede to get it. But once you start praying and you see God do things, do you realize what we've seen God do in this church? The souls that have been saved, people that's sitting right here tonight that the doctors told them, you're never going to conquer this disease. This cancer is going to take your life. This sickness is going to be the end of you. But here they are worshiping God tonight, and they're still saying, Lord, I want to praise you for the touch that even though I had prayed and asked you, and it's been a long time ago, you're the one that did it, Lord. And I cannot separate my praise from my prayer life. It goes together hand in hand. And prayer and praise. And by the way, if you never praise Him, it tells me you're not praying much. Because if you pray enough, and I know this is a tough pill to swallow, but I'm getting ready to close, so you can say amen to that. When you pray enough, I mean, you really get a burden for somebody that's lost. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. Watch how you feel when they get saved. I said, I'm closing. I am. Come, get a song. Get ready to sing. I remember, most of you that's new won't even know the name. Her name was Luella Flager. And years ago in the church, every week or maybe every month, I'd give a name of somebody lost. And we'd all write that name down somewhere that we'd look several times a day to pray for that person. And Luella, she was getting older, and she couldn't remember all the time who it was to pray for. So I would tell her, Sister Flager, just write their name down. And one night, she came into church and had a post-it note on her head. That's the truth. And I don't want to give you the wrong idea. She was a very intelligent lady. It was out of character for her to do that. I knew if she did that, God put that on her. And it had a name on there. Bob Patterson. And she said, I got to praying and said, Lord, how can I remember that name? And the Lord said, how bad do you want to see him saved? She said, I want to see him saved real bad. Bob was faithful to come to church. These girls, you were just little tiny girls. Your dad, he would sit there. Denise remembers it well. He'd sit there with you girls. He'd been a great dad. Always been a great dad. When he was lost, he was a great dad. But he'd sit there with you girls. But invitation time, Bob would hide behind you girls to keep from paying attention during the invitation. And Luella said, Lord, I want to see him saved. He comes to church and I'm afraid his heart's going to get hardened and I want to see him saved. And she said, "Preacher, God broke me and said, would you be willing to write his name on a post-it note and stick on your head? Because you look in the mirror several times a day. And when you do," she said, "I'm always reminded, pray for Bob Patterson. Pray for Bob Patterson." You know what? The strangest thing, nobody made fun of her. It may sound funny to you now, but it sure didn't sound funny. One service, as we gathered together in an unusual place, and we were moving because the church was building, suddenly Bob Patterson came down the side aisles, and the first thing I thought of was Luella Flager, that post-it note on her head. Bob Patterson. You know what? We need to get to that place where we're going to say, "Lord, I've got loved ones that are lost. What can I do to intercede for them, to see them get saved?" And while I was preaching, I looked over at Bob. And even though those were prayers years ago, the praise remained. I saw Bob raise his hand and tears come to his eyes, because you had a friend in Luella Flager, and she had a friend in Jesus. And even though she's gone, her friend Jesus is still in your heart and dwells in you richly. If you're here tonight and you have loved ones or people that's entrusted you with needs in their life, to say pray, that's what I'd do. I'd come tonight and I'd pray for them. If you have loved ones that's lost, I would start saying, "Lord, help me to intercede for them, that we can see them touched by the power of God and see them get saved." Time's running out, folks. Let's get serious for God.